Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs.
But first, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, Chief fans. This is your host, How About Them Chiefs, and it's about that time right now, 2 days away from our very first game, primetime Thursday night. We're going to be playing against the Houston Texans, and today I have with me our co-host, Stuart Smith, and thanks again, Stuart, for joining the show.
Absolutely.
How are you doing today?
I am doing stupendous.
I am so fired up for this game, and I'm surprised we're even having a season. I mean, like, looking at how this year 2020 has been, I mean, I didn't even think we're going to have anything with this pandemic. Are you stoked or surprised that we're even having a season right now?
Yes. What's weird is I looked up today out of, like, the several thousand athletes for football. Well, some of them aren't athletes, but some of the football players, that one person tested positive. So, I mean, I think that's good. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I don't know if one's good or bad, but yeah, I mean, I didn't think we were going to have a season, or I at least thought I was going to be pushed, but fingers crossed. I hope everyone, hopefully number 15 can stay COVID free, because could use another ring.
It's going to be awesome. Like, I am really excited for this. And what's really cool too about the Chiefs is we're actually having fans in the crowd. I know most of the stadiums around are not having, I know the AFC West, no one's having fans in the stands. I know it won't be the same, but do you think they're going to pump in some crowd noise? You think Kansas City, do you think they'll let them pump in at 142 decibels, just to be fair?
Well, two things. I already looked up tickets to go, and, like, the cheapest tickets, like, I want to say, like, $350. And there's still tickets available. They're allowing 10,000 fans. I already reserved a hotel, but I don't know how about my ticket yet or how to get there. But I'm not kidding. I really did. I did book a hotel. I don't know if it's going to work out. But yeah, they are going to be putting in noise. I don't know how that's going to be. It's going to be weird watching it. I mean, there's nothing like watching a game and seeing the fans and just hearing the stadium. So it will be weird. I do think it's a Chiefs advantage. But now, if we could think about positive ways, like, for, I think about playing in Seattle, for example. Very difficult for the Chiefs to play there. I remember they played there 2 years ago. They unfortunately lost last second. That's a tough place to play. But now when you play in places like that, I mean, it's, you're able to make communications at the line. You know, so there really is not a thing of home field advantage anymore. So I don't know. Right. I don't know what, you know, and if you think about it, the Chiefs, in my opinion, they're the best team in the NFL. There's no reason why, until you can knock them off, you can't say anyone's better. With that said,
we're not biased at all.
If the Chiefs went out, they'll get the first round bye. So I hope eventually fans can come back, because that will be an advantage in the playoffs. So to answer a very long-winded answer, yes, they will be putting in some sound, and 10,000 people will be attending, and I already booked a hotel, but we'll see how I get a ticket.
Yeah. I really hope to hear the home of the Chiefs again, the national anthem. That's the one thing that's been we kind of missed if we couldn't have any fans. So I'm glad that's still going to be around. But I mean, it's starting to be like we're playing the Houston Texans primetime, you know, Thursday night game, and it's starting to feel like it's a rival. I mean, we've played the Texans now 6 times in the 5 seasons, last season's twice in the playoffs. And now you got this quarterback matchup with Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, which I think is the closest you can get, I guess, to a Peyton Manning, I guess, and Tom Brady right now for young guns, because, I mean, we're going to play him a lot. I know we're going to see him down the playoffs. I know one thing Andy Reid was saying, too, like about, you know, after you when you try to run it back, is that you have to be creative. You have to keep everyone back together. And I think the advantage for us is that we have everyone back pretty much on our team from like last year, and we had no preseason, so it's gonna be very interesting to see how we come out the gate. But are you excited to see Clyde finally play? Like, I wish we got to see him in preseason, but I am really excited to see this guy come out of the backfield.
So I've been watching NFL Network, and they had like a whole montage of him already. Like, they're already saying, they're even saying that he's gonna compete with Mahomes for the league MVP.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, what I will say is I've seen him return a punt on NFL Access. It has literally like one clip of him doing something, but he returned that punt so good. I can't wait to watch more. But yeah, I do think he is going to be like a Swiss Army knife for Andy Reid. As long as he can grasp the playbook and hold on the football, I think we're going to see his name called a lot this year because Williams is out. But yeah, I can't wait to watch our new Swiss Army knife. It's going to be fun.
It was funny about him when you were talking about getting the playbook. He was saying that in the camp, training camp time, he was saying during training camp, this doesn't look too difficult, which I thought was really shocking because usually Andy Reid's playbook is extreme and a lot of people can't understand and grasp it right away. So that's always a positive thing that he's already ready and playing from LSU and doing it against all the SEC defenses and playing against all his big players because he's obviously got a smaller frame. But he played very well, you know, in the SEC and did dominate. So I'm really excited to see him catch the ball out of the backfield and run the ball through between the tackles and see what he does and how Andy Reid's going to play him. And I'm really excited, too, to see how Andy Reid's going to keep this offense fresh. I mean, we have so many playmakers. You know, it was fun seeing Travis Kelce in the backfield doing the wildcat, throwing passes, or even when in the Super Bowl we had that spinning around play, you know. And like, so I know Andy Reid's got plenty of plays up his sleeve for this upcoming game and games coming up. How do you defend this offense? Like, what do you expect the Texans defense to do this Thursday night?
I have no idea because last time we played them, we scored 11 possessions in a row. I don't think you can play the Chiefs. Honestly, you need to watch the film of the 49ers the first three quarters and do exactly what they did. But I don't think the Texans have the kind of athletes to do what the 49ers did. They did keep the Chiefs from making some big plays. There was only like a handful of big plays that entire game until the fourth quarter. But it's easier to get all these people together and the huddle. I don't know how you're going to stop them, but we're going to see. But I know one person, Travis Kelce, really got to their number. So I'm interested to see how it's going to work.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, like, this is to make it a different, you know, Texans, obviously, when they lost out of the playoffs, they probably made the right decision. They fired a defensive coordinator, and now they have a new one. His name's Anthony Weaver, and he's new to the league. So he's never coached a defensive coordinator, never coached a defense in the NFL. So that could be a good thing and a bad thing. One, you know, they had no preseason, so, you know, he might still be getting his team ready for his scheme. And also, too, like, it's hard for Andy Reid and the offense to figure out what exactly we're going to see. But he's been known to be aggressive. That's one thing we've been hearing about him. But I have it hard to believe you have to be aggressive against the Chiefs because if they don't, they sit back like they did in the playoffs game, Mahomes will just tear them apart. There's too many weapons that we have. I mean, but one thing for sure, the Texans did – their defense right now is loaded with first-round draft picks, but they're inexperienced in the back end, which is not something you don't want to have when you're playing against this high-powered offense that throws everywhere. I mean, right now they have a former first-round draft pick, Conley, out of Ohio State. He was a Raiders first-round draft pick. Didn't pan out for them, and now he's our starting corner for the Texans. You also have Bradley Roby, who is another first-round draft pick back in 2014 for the Denver Broncos, is starting the other side corner. And then for safeties, they have Justin Reed and Eric Murray. I mean, really, that's not going to be much to match up against the Chiefs. I know Justin Reed was talking crap a little bit towards the end of the season, let's say, oh, we want to play the Chiefs. We can't wait to play him. So we'll see what he does because we'll see how he can play against this Legion of Zoom.
Yeah.
I mean, no one on the Texas defense can really guard Travis Kelce one-on-one or Tyreek Hill, but who in the league really can, to be honest? And then also, by the way, you have Sammy Watkins, who's another person out there. So good luck. It's just a matchup nightmare for anybody. And so I think the Chiefs' offense is going to be great coming out. I do think that they're going to have some tests with the linebackers and the defensive line for the Texans because they still have J.J. Watt and they have Whitney Merciless. So if they can keep those guys contained in Mahomes' time, this is going to be a heyday for Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean,
what I will say is that they did say this guy, what's his name, Weaver, the defensive coordinator. Yeah. He's really coached with some really good coaches. I mean, he had Rex Ryan coaching for a while. I think he had Romeo Crennel, which he's still part of the Texans. Unless he has some new disguising, you know, really good disguising of defense, but it's just too early to, I don't think they're going to, you have to hold the Chiefs under like 30 points. And I still haven't seen a team that could do that effectively for four quarters, except those 49ers, but they just got tired. So that's another thing is, I think the key is who's in shape, because you get these guys going, you're not going to stop them. And there's a difference between being in season shape and like in shape, right? So we'll see.
But like you said, this defensive coordinator, he's had some experience with coaches around him, Rex Ryan and Romeo Cornell, you know, and Romeo Cornell's still there. So we'll see. But, I mean, honestly, the only way I see the Texans beating the Chiefs is if they control the clock and keep him off the field, Mahomes off the field. It's just like what they used to do with Peyton Manning back in the day and Tom Brady. The only way you can beat them is get their offense off the field. And the way the Texans did this was back in October when they beat us. They had 83 plays against our defense. And we only had 40-something plays. But they ran the ball down our throats, and we could stop them. But that was all before we had Mike Pinnell. It was all before we got our defense ready to go. So that's the only way I see them beating him, because they had, now have David Johnson as a running back, and they have Duke Johnson. So the upgrade there, I guess, with David Johnson, even though it was a crazy trade getting rid of DeMar Hopkins, you know, I don't understand how that's going to work out now that Watson doesn't have his go-to target. But – I mean, that's the only way I can see them beating the Chiefs is that they run the ball and effectively keep the ball in their hands. What do you think?
Well, here's the thing. Because ever since COVID, I don't have a life when it comes to TV, so I've just been watching games over and over again. And the one game that really stood out to me, I think the team that figured out or how to slow down the Chiefs was the Colts. You remember that terrible football game? Yeah. It was like on a Monday or Sunday night or one of those nights. But if you remember how that was the worst the Chiefs looked all season. Like, that was by far like the worst game they played, because like the Titans game they lost, they were in the game the entire time. Same with the Texans. They were in the game the entire time, bad plays. And then when they lost to the Packers, they didn't have Mahomes. So those, okay. But the game against the Colts is, I think, hopefully that no one can look at the blueprint of that. And how they won was, you can say the Colts, they are good. I think that now they have Phillip Rivers, it's good. But their offensive line and defensive line made the Chiefs look terrible. Like, it was a really boring game, because really what they did was they kept Mahomes in check. The only plays he made, which probably were the best plays of his career, was he ran around, broke three different tackles, threw sidearm, and made some good plays. But that was the only thing that the Chiefs had of highlights of that game. So if the Texans can figure out a way to do what the Colts did, they could do it. I don't think their offensive line is nearly as good as the Colts. And I don't think the defensive line can really disrupt Mahomes like the Colts did or like the 49ers did. So those are the two. I think the offensive line and defensive line is really how I think you could beat the Chiefs. And it was proven when you watch the 49ers and they had a good three quarters, and then obviously the Colts game.
Yeah, I mean, even you talk about the offensive line for the Chiefs, like, we lost the Doc, you know, he opted out, and that felt like it was going to be a hold. And then we also had that guard we picked out of TCU, but he decided to opt out too, so it wasn't looking too hot. But then, Veach and his ways of getting players on the team and under the cap, he got Kelechi. I can't pronounce his
name. Oh, I just looked it up. Kelechi Azumeli. Iowa State, baby.
That guy is a stud. He was a Pro Bowler a couple years ago. I mean, he's played for the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl. So he's was a 9-year veteran. Yes. I think we picked up a guy. I think we actually probably upgraded, to be honest, at right guard. Nothing against the Doc, but I honestly think his high salary cap, what it might have been a hit, he could have been a cap casualty. Who knows? But he ended up opting out, which helped us out, you know. I wish him the best, and I like, you know, for his cause, what he's going to do, and, you know, you can't help it, but you cannot not like the guy. I mean, honestly, he's going to be a doctor out there fighting for COVID, you know, I think it's awesome. Yeah. But, I mean, like, honestly, our offensive line, I think we upgraded. I think we'll be fine. I think we'll handle J.J. Watt. I feel like he's had too many injuries. We'll see how his health's going to be. It's just Whitney Merciless is the other guy on the edge, but they don't have Clowney anymore. So, I mean, they don't have another really pass rusher. So if we can contain those two, I think we're going to be fine. Going back to the Texans, though, I mean, they lost DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, which makes the Chiefs defense even easier, you know? Because, like, now we were playing to stop the run, but we couldn't have too many players in the box because you left one-on-one with DeMar Hopkins, which was impossible because he's one of the best receivers in the league. We can say that. And now he's not going to be on their team. And also a stat that I saw, which I thought was pretty incredible, last season DeAndre Hopkins caught over 30-something balls on third-down conversions for the Texans. It was like second behind Michael Thompson, who also led the league in reception. So that says he's something right there that Watson, he has a lot of trust in DeMar Hopkins as on third down shorts, and they made a lot of good plays. If you remember the playoff game, how many times they went on for fourth down and whatever, and they would connect with him. So now he's not going to be in the picture anymore. So where is Watson going to turn to? I mean, we're looking at his receivers right now. He's got Will Fuller, who's like a speedster. He's got Brandon Cooks now, Randall Cobb, and Kenny Stills. There really isn't one number one receiver. They're all down deep threats. So, honestly, do you see any of those being a replacement?
I mean, you know what? I do think you're right in the sense of, like, the Texans, like, they're losing their security blanket with him that just left over to Arizona. With that said, though, I think they're going to be a much better team this year because of what happened against them with the Chiefs. I do think they're getting better at the offensive line situation. I think their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, is the most underrated player in the NFL. I think he's a complete stud. And I just think that they'll be better this year. But I think on paper last year they had better players, better tools. But I think Randall Cobb and Stills are both really good. They're basically vets, right? They're not like these brand new rookies. So, like, they have a good sense of what's going on. And also Brandon Cooks. I know he always gets injured and he has a lot of concussion issues. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, from an AFC perspective, they're still one of the top teams between them and the Ravens.
I agree. I think it'd be a top team. But I'm saying you lost your best receiver and you really don't have a true number one now. It's going to be very interesting what they're going to do. But I really think they're going to start running the ball more.
Yeah.
I mean, you spent all that money on David Johnson. You spent all that money on the offensive line. You're watching the league just destroy Watson. How many times he gets sacked? He's got sacked more than I think a lot of people. We saw Andrew Luck go through this and he ended his career. Yeah. I mean, if they don't protect Watson, that's what's going to happen. I mean, I think it's one reason why he probably did a short contract. I know he got paid fat now, but, like, he didn't do no 10-year deal like Mahomes. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting what's going to happen now with the Texans. And I think, honestly, don't sleep on David Johnson, though, either. I know he's had injury problems, but he was a Pro Bowler and he was number one fantasy running back a couple of years ago. But I know he's up there in age. And then they also got Duke Johnson, who's a very underrated running back out of the backfield catching balls. He did very well for the Cleveland Browns, and now he's on the Texans. So that's one thing that I'm excited about the Chiefs, though, on the other hand, to stop that. We got the good linebacker I'm really waiting to see, the rookie, Willie Gay Jr.
Yes.
He's the best defending linebacker in college. What was the Pro Football Focus? They had him as the best coverage linebacker, and now he's on the Chiefs, going to cover those guys. So I can't wait to see him play. I think he's going to be an animal all over the place. Like, are you excited to see him play too?
Yes. I think from the roster for the Chiefs, the guys I'm the most excited to see, obviously, it's Clyde Edwards, but I do think Gay Jr. is going to be an absolute stud. But the one guy that I think is really going to open up, and I don't think people, and it's no one's talking about him, is Taco Charlton. I'm serious. I think he's there's a reason why he was drafted in the first round. I feel like it wasn't a good fit for him, but I think no one's talking about him. I think he's going to have a great year. I think Willie Gay Jr., in my opinion, I think he'll be a top candidate for defensive rookie of the year because they're going to plug him. He's the only guy at their will linebacker position. But the next guy I'm also really excited to watch is Thornhill. See how he's going to recover from his knee injury. Yeah. I think he's an absolute stud as well. But yeah, you can't tell, but I'm not that excited. I can't wait.
You know, we always talk about offense and defense, but our special teams group, I mean, we don't get a lot of credit, but they had a lot of plays that really turned it around for the Chiefs. I mean, it goes back to Dirty Dan on that fake punt against the Texans. It started the whole rally. Or you talk about when Mecole Hardman did a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Right.
So I guess David Tope was saying that this group might be the best special team group he's had since he's been in Kansas City. I mean, that's hard to say when you'd lost Dustin Colquitt. I know we cut him and let him go, but he was getting paid, you know, too much, and we had to do that. But besides him leaving, I mean, you look at the group, like now we also have Marcus Kemp is back. I mean, he was a receiver last year that made the team, but he tore his ACL, so he was, you know, on the injury reserve, but he's now going to be there. Brian Pringle will be a really good special team player also. We also got the guy Antonio Hamilton, who's a special team ace from the Jets, for the New York Giants on the team now. So, you know, Dirty Dan's still back there. I mean, it's going to be great. And then also, too, to give you more confidence, I guess Harrison Buckner, he was saying, added 5 more yards to his field goals.
Wow.
So he said, don't be surprised if we try a 60-yard field goal if the weather's right. I mean, I'm a little excited about that. You know, Harrison Buckner, you know, the AKA butt kicker kicking a 60-yard, that'd be pretty cool to see. So, I mean, and then also, too, to top it all off, you know, we just extended Brett Veach and Andy Reid into 2025 now, too. So this dynasty is ready. I mean,
best looking GM in all of football.
You know, honestly, like, how'd you like those extensions? You think they deserved it?
Well, what's cool about it, the best part is that they took care of their players first, and then they took care of the GM, right? Like, right. They got everyone signed that needed to be signed. Kelsey, you know, Hill, Mahomes, obviously. All of them got locked up where it was good, where they're going to be a chief for a long time, and then they took care of themselves. So that was absolutely very excited to see that. Very classy. To see that as a Chiefs.
What did you think of the ring ceremony? Did you catch that?
I saw Coleman, Marquise Coleman. He dropped his ring. I would too. That thing looks heavy, man. But
I was laughing so hard. I saw. I was going to ask you if you saw that because he turns around like right away, looking around to see if anyone saw it. And he's like, "Oh man, you can't film that. You can't keep that on." But that was pretty funny. So I see everyone's reactions. That was great. And then all the people who also associate the Chiefs got rings. That was really neat and cool. I'm not biased at all, but I think it was the best-looking Super Bowl ring.
All right. Hey, do you know about something I just got the chills thinking about, and nobody's talking about it? Okay, there hasn't been a single analysis, you know, talk about this one particular impact player that nobody's talking about. I call him Tommy T. His name is Tommy Townsend. Have you seen this guy, the punter for the Chiefs?
He's definitely going to be a good replacement. That guy's got a leg.
No. If you look him up on YouTube, there's a highlight. There's just straight highlights of him taking the ball and running it to the side. And there's even notes saying that, let's see, this is the best thing I saw. Even as a punter, Tommy Townsend has speed to burn for the Chiefs. Like, he's arguably the fastest punter in the NFL. So not only do you have the fastest receivers and, you know, all these other players, but now – Tommy T, the fastest punter in the NFL. Of course, the Chief has him. Love it.
We're gonna see some fake punts then, possibly with him. Then
I guarantee it.
You know, Dave Tope's gonna have something up his sleeve, so that's another thing. But they were saying too, bringing that back up the special teams, that even if Harrison Buckner, I guess he was, I don't know, he was sick or injured or whatever. One day he was took off for training camp. And they had Townsend kicking field goals, and he was making them from like 50 yards and everything else. So they're pretty confident with him. Also, if he had to do the kicking duties, that we won't have to get another kicker. So that's a good thing to hear. But what is your expectations? What do you think is going to happen right out the gate?
In the game or the season?
The game. Let's go the game first.
I think the Chiefs are just going to come out soaring. I think that they're going to be – I think the fact that they've been sitting back and running through this stuff, they can't wait to just go after a defense and just go to town. I don't think the Texans can keep up with the Chiefs defensively. I think, you know, they have a lot of great players and everything else, but if you just – I think they're going to attack Travis Kelce early in the game. They'll double cover him, and you're going to see guys like Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins get really light up the scoreboard. And I don't see the Chiefs playing until the third quarter. That's my bold prediction.
I'll be a little more optimistic. I think it'll be a little sloppy on both ends because they had no preseason. But, you know, usually the first couple games, you always have some weird fumbles or some interceptions or something like that. But because the Chiefs have so much chemistry, though, and we've had so many the same players staying around, I don't see that happening. But for Watson, I feel like there's going to be some miscommunication somewhere because – you know, Kenny Stills is his only veteran guy with him now, but everyone else is all new receiving core, basically.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks has never played a snap with him. You never had also Randall Cobb. I know Randall Cobb's a veteran, but, you know, so we'll see what happens there. But I think their offensive line has improved, and The one thing I'm kind of a little worried about for the Chiefs defensive wise is our defensive line. Mike Pinnell, Big Mike, is going to be out for two games. So, I mean, when that guy is in the defensive lineup, our defensive line is stout at the line. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But I'm predicting at least the Chiefs score at least 35 points, and I think the Texans will be like around 21. I'm guessing 35-21 Chiefs. That's my prediction.
Well, I think that this 6'1", 312-pounder from Florida State University, Derek Nnadi, is going to fill in tremendously on Thursday.
Yeah.
So he's a great plug-and-fill guy, and I'm telling you, watch out for Taco.
Was there any surprise cuts that you saw on the roster the Chiefs got rid of?
I guess the way Matty Ice, I would think that, but I know it's difficult with quarterbacks. I think that was the only eye opener where I was, you know, pretty shocked in a way. I thought that was, you know, kind of eye opening. I also think too that, you know, we don't have a lot of wide receivers. We have six that are on the roster. So I thought they'd at least sign a couple more, or at least have some more on that. Cause they're loaded at tight end. We have four different tight ends now.
Right.
I think the tackle position, I think, you know, not too light on that, but good in the guards. So, yeah, I was surprised that we didn't keep Matty Ice as a third quarterback, but I get it.
I was surprised, too, because usually the Chiefs, they run with three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But Andy Reid always does that. But the good news is that we got to get Matt Moore to sign in the practice squad.
Yeah.
So that, at least that's good. And then also Jordan Tamahu, the other quarterback from Ole Miss, he's also in the practice squad. So we still have two other quarterbacks, you know, just in case, you know, Pat Mahomes goes down.
No,
we still have that. We also have Chad Henning also. But, and then at running back position, I was kind of surprised too, is that we're only going with three, really. You got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you got Darrell Williams, and you got Darwin Thompson. DeAndre Washington, I thought, was the big signing that we got in the offseason that potentially could be plugged in for third round back. But he's still the same type of style running back as Darwin Thompson, so I guess I could see him getting cut, but he's also being picked up on the practice squad, so I think we're good there. I was surprised with defensive line, we had so many defensive ends, and one name that particular popped up, and I could see why though, was Breland Speaks. You know, that was probably one of the mistakes that we had picking up, but I think he also had injury last year. But the way we changed from a 3-4 to a 4-3, I don't think he really fits the scheme very much. And there's too much talent, and he just didn't show it. So I was kind of surprised that Breland Speaks got released.
Hey, here's something interesting I just kind of ran upon. The Chiefs, on the offensive running back situation, okay, Darrell Williams, career yards, 185, Darwin Thompson, 128. Obviously, Clyde Edwards doesn't have any. So these guys together haven't even ran over 400 yards. So
yeah.
I wonder how much yards that they're going to put up this year. But that's one area where it's kind of you're scratching your head. But
well, yeah.
I trust my Andy Reid. Yeah. So
I mean, we didn't expect Damian Williams to probably opt out. That probably wasn't the plan. You know, you thought you'd have Damian Williams in there and then have to put in Clyde. But I mean, for how much he's been talked about in the camp and how well he's been doing, I won't be surprised if he gets a lot of carries, but I mean, they're going to spread it out. That's the one thing I love about watching this offense is that you never know who's going to go off.
Yeah.
You know, one night, you know, the very first season game last year, we had Sammy Watkins go off to Jacksonville. Then he didn't score for a couple games. And then you had, you know, then Mecole Hardman went off. Then you had DeMarcus Robinson went off against the Raiders.
Yep.
You know, so like, you never know who it's going to be. You know, obviously the Texans, I'm pretty sure Travis Kelce has their number. He always goes off against them, but we'll see what's going to happen. I'm really stoked. I just hope everyone stays healthy. And with this whole COVID thing, everyone does the protocols they're supposed to. And I'm just glad we actually have fans in the stands, because that's just going to be one thing. It's going to be super weird not seeing anybody there. And I know it's a big advantage playing at home at Kansas City is having some fans. But like you said, if they win and the playoffs come around, we have that home season, you know, we have that first round bye, this is going to be pretty sweet.
So what is your bold prediction in the game this Thursday?
Ooh, my bold prediction is Dirty Dan's going to make a play.
Oh, I love Dirty Dan.
He's going to make a good tackle, or he's going to have to come up with a fumble or something. I feel like that guy is always around the ball somewhere, and especially with the Texans, what he did last time. You know, he got that a game-saving tackle, basically, I guess, on fourth down. They try to do that, you know, fake fourth down punt. And then also when he had that strip fumble that he made, that Darwin Thompson just fell on his lap. So I think Derry Dam will do something. So who's your bold prediction?
Well, I'm gonna do an offensive performer and a defensive performer. My defensive performer is gonna be Willie Gay Jr. He's gonna have tackles. Tackle leader for the game will be Willie Gay Jr. and he will have 8 tackles. So he'll have a big day of tackling. I think he's gonna be a tackling machine for the Chiefs. That's okay. Now, offensively, I think Sammy Watkins is going to have 3 touchdown passes opening day.
He's going to throw 3
touchdowns? No, he's going to catch three touchdown passes. My boy Sammy Watkins.
Oh, that's extreme. That's an extreme bold decision. All right.
Hey, he did it against the Jaguars. Like, remember he had like 300 yards receiving? He likes it when it's warm out. From Clemson.
I think he'll do well. I really think on offense, I think it's going to be someone we don't think about. I think Clyde's going to have a decent day. I think Mahomes will always have his good day, but maybe he won't have the huge numbers he normally has because I think we're going to run the ball, be up big early. So if I had to go offense, I think Kelsey's going to have a
good Sammy Watkins.
I just don't see them. They have no matchup for Kelsey. I don't see – and Justin Reed's like, oh, we're going to – I can't wait to play the Chiefs. That guy's going to get burned. I don't see how Reed's going to get anywhere near him. So I don't see it happening. And then defensively, I said Derry Dam. I think special teams will have some interesting, you know, good plays too. So, but I like I said, I think it'd be 35-21 Chiefs win easy in Arrowhead. So what was your prediction score, you think?
Okay, score is going to be 31-20 Chiefs.
Okay.
Just like the Super Bowl.
I like that.
Or it was 31-10, I think. One or the other.
I like that. So I'm ready to come over to your house. We'll start tailgating,
I guess.
You know, if you start tailgating tomorrow.
I'll get the trailer, get the AC going, and get the stuff in the refrigerator in there.
We'll get your Traeger grill going. We'll start cooking some ribs, you know, out in this fire weather we have here in California. Yeah. You know,
it's a nice,
it's good to hail.
It's a nice little furnace.
Those ashes. So, well, thanks again for doing this. It's always been a pleasure. It's always fun. Hopefully, we do very many more. Hopefully, we have a Victory Monday podcast coming up. Not trying to be biased at all right here, but I don't know if you have anything else to say, Stu, but I'm going
to
sign
off. I think the only thing I have to say is that it's officially the season's over from last year from the Super Bowl champs. It was a great year. Mahomes doesn't owe me anything in my life. He already deserved everything. He gets everything he needs because he brought me a ring. But I want more.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of nice. It'll be the sweet thing to hear on Thursday night. The defending Super Bowl champs, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be pretty awesome to hear that. Hopefully to hear more of that coming up.
Absolutely.
So we got all year long, we'll hear that. So it's been one thing right to say. So before we sign off, we'll say let's go Chiefs, but also more importantly, those defending Super Bowl champs. Let's run it back.
Absolutely. Run it back. Sammy Watkins.
Right, we'll see.
All right.
Your guy.
That's right.
Sammy Watkins. We'll see. All right.
See ya.
Let's go Chiefs.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode and make sure to check in next week. I'll be uploading more episodes, and don't forget, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at How About Them Chiefs. So go check it out, and again, thanks for listening. Go Chiefs!